Tonight's episode of The War Room is brought to you courtesy of the Boston Battle Bunker. That's 69 Penn Street in Boston, Lincolnshire. The biggest selection of bolt action in Lincolnshire. They do competitions, games, and will see to all your needs. In fact, he's got one of the biggest selections of bolt action in the UK. So guys, get down to the bostonbattlebunker.co.uk. Hello, hi everybody. Tonight's recording happened last week on Saturday night after the Imps Open, and we got settled down in the Battle Bunker in Boston with a few beers, and Harrison, myself, Andy and Phil from up north sat around and had a wee chat, so we're going to include you into that chat. But before we get started away with that, just wanted to draw your attention to the Scottish Nationals, which are happening 26th to the 27th of May this year, obviously, hosted by Dwarf, which is a local club in Dunfermline, and in association with the War HQ and the Home Guard Radio. It's £15 for the Saturday, £30 for Saturday and Sunday, so you can just do the one day if you want. Or you can do the two-day GT, which will make up the Scottish Nationals. What else do you need to know? Food will be provided. It's 12.50 points, usual army books. If you're going to use an armour platoon, you can only take one armour platoon in your force. You may use multiple platoons from generic and theatre lists. All the usual stuff, really. There's going to be a whole heap of people going. Nearly all the main players from the Scottish scene will be there. A few guys possibly coming up from south. It'll be good to see all you guys there. There was a small invasion from England last year, so very much looking forward to that. I'll be one of the TOs, along with Craig from the Home Guard Radio will be the other two TO. So lots of videoing and podcasting will be going on in the day, as well as a munching of donuts and cracking of cans, but only soft drinks in the Del Farquharson Centre, you'll be glad to know. So, much more ado, guys, get yourself signed up. You'll find it by looking on Facebook and looking up Scottish Nationals Bolt Action. We'll take you straight to the page. So get yourself signed up as quick as you can. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody. Another special episode of The War Room. It's been an exciting, adventurous day today. We've been down at Imps, as everybody knows who listens to the cast. And, let's talk about the competition first. So I'm down here with some of the boys from up north, Phil and Andy from Elgin Way, and down with Harrison as well. We are currently down in Boston, sleeping above a game shop, wondering if we can sneak down and steal everything and get away before the competition tomorrow. So we'll be made very welcome by Nick from the Boston Battle Bunk, kind sponsor of the show.
Oh, is he the sponsor?
Yes, he is the sponsor.
Oh. He's the sponsor.
It all becomes clear. It's a cunning plan. So, we played today. I played three games. I'm talking it all over in the car. Learned a few things. Partly what... What an idiot I am, trying to moderate my language. I had two good games, got two good wins, and third game was a good game as well, but managed to lose massively because I didn't pay attention.
Right, try and get the viewers at home to make a 16 dice veteran list.
A British 16 dice veteran list. We doubted it could be done, but having looked at it, it can be done, and it was very effective as well, it would be fair to say. Although we did find out the guys from up north here, they knew it already, but there was a lot of howling cows.
Howling cows are wonderful.
And when they were being used against me, and I should know much, much better, and this kind of annoyed me once I found out, but I don't think the guys were cheating at all. It was just a misunderstanding of the rules, but the howling cow
when they were rolling to hit, what they were doing is taking the template, maximizing the template before it had hit, and then working out how many targets they could also hit, and then they were rolling to hit that target, and if it missed that target, they were still taking the hits on the other targets. I hope this makes sense. It's kind of sounding a bit like gibberish in my head, but they're not allowed to do that. If they miss the initial target, they don't hit anything else. It's only if they hit the initial target, you then use the template at that stage, and then you see what else is within 6 inches of that 3-inch template, I think it is.
Yeah, it's a 3-inch template. Yeah.
Ah, the voice of reason speaks above us all. Won't be reasonable for long. They've got a box of Budweiser up here that they're all munching their way through. So yeah, I was a bit annoyed about that. Once I found out after we were driving back home, I was like, oh man, that might have made a difference. Not much of a difference. But I should know better, so my own fault. And I don't think the guy that I was playing was cheating. I think it was just ignorance of that particular rule. So, yeah. What the heck? Chalk it down to experience.
Well, more interesting, though. Talk about the cheating allegations, man.
Well, how do we talk about...
How do we talk about the cheating allegations without winding someone up?
Well, you've got to be very careful. There was a couple of instances which were dealt with very well by a tournament organiser, Gaz, who is a friend, so interest here. I'm not exactly sure. What was the actual cheating allegation? It was misrepresentation of rules, and I think there was maybe... somebody perhaps thought that dice were being picked up a little too quickly without being able to see them. Maybe.
I think that was the gist of it, yeah.
That was the gist of it. And yes, it happens. It just shows that really you need to, when you're playing ball action or any game, you've just got to be very aware of how your actions are perceived by other people. You may not be cheating, etc., but you want to just leave everything out, so let everybody see the dice, check before you pick up any dice that that's okay with the other guy, and various bits and pieces. Just makes life a bit easier and a bit happier for everybody. What else happened at the competition, rules wise? A lot of people seem to misunderstand how flamethrowers are used. There was one, I think there was about 5 instances in the first round alone of the TO being called in to adjudicate on flamethrowers. So, guys, get to your rule books and just check you understand how flamethrowers work. I obviously don't, because I seem to be hoping that a flamethrower hit on a 1 or a 2, because that's all I could roll, but nobody told my friend. I never ran out, but I never hit. Is that true? Yeah, I don't think I've... No, I hit once all day with my flamethrower. They did have a couple of shots. It's always worth checking that vehicles you are fighting don't have a flamethrower on that you didn't realise, as I came to find out. Always check your lines of sight. I started off by firing at something today and thought I had hit them. To be corrected on my line of sight and cover, which at the time I wasn't very happy about. I didn't fall out, but I wasn't very happy about it. When I checked it at the end of the turn, the guy I was playing was absolutely correct and I was being a jerk. So, hands up. Hands up to that one. What else did I find out today? Universal carriers. No, not universal carriers. Brain carriers. I didn't realise and never had realised that they can do as many turns as they like.
Do you want to end on this?
We're podcasting. Nick's just come up.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. I don't know how much you'll pick up in the background. So I didn't realise universal carriers could turn like motorbikes, basically, when they move. So what was that?
That threw me off a bit.
What was that all about?
Why can they turn like a motorbike on track?
I think it's because they're so mobile and things. I hadn't realised that, and I play brain carriers from time to time. How did I not know that? So, yeah, it just shows you. You always learn something. Mm. Although I'm sure everybody out there in podcast land is much more intelligent than I am and can keep the flow of a podcast going much better than I can. What else did we learn today? Yeah, the howling cow thing just totally, sorry, I'm going to keep going on about the howling cow, but yeah. So I was well sussed out in that one. What we're doing, we are playing tomorrow, so we are having a teetotal night. We'll be doing our evening exercises and limbering up for the big games tomorrow. We expect to be taking all the prizes home to Scotland, so we'll be hiring a van. That's the noise of another Budweiser being opened. So it just shows you, you can have a lot of fun when you go away with your pals. Well, I call them pals.
Associates.
Yeah, it works both ways, doesn't it? So you can have a lot of fun. So it's well worth it if you can get the time off for brownie points, going away and have an adventure and see all the people you can see and meet. Maybe not quite so much for me because I know a few of the faces now, but I'm pretty sure the guys I'm with met a lot of new guys today.
Very much so.
You did. You met one of your old pals today, didn't you?
Ruben.
Ruben. I played Ruben first round. Really nice guy from Spain, wasn't it? Ruben's
won
from
best
Spain.
Sporting.
He did win the best sport.
He was very good throughout all his games, I believe. Really nice guy to play against.
Yeah. And the guy that came second today actually decided to, how do you describe it? Decided to stand down so the guy that won it could win.
Yeah.
How did that work?
No, I think there was a rules discussion in his game. And they weren't quite certain on how the rules were going to go. And if they'd gone with the rules where he thought it would go, he would have won the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of being, you know, really one of those guys...
Like me.
Oh, I wasn't going to point fingers.
They're pointing fingers, everybody.
Yeah. But instead of being that guy, he said, you know what, we'll play it this other way. And it cost him the tournament, but it made the game much more enjoyable for his opponents. So it was really, really nice to hear that.
Yeah, what was his name? It was Dan, I think. Was it Dan? Something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Anyway, he was really good. He had an American accent, so I'm assuming he was American, but I don't know, he might have been Canadian. So I probably just insulted him. But he was really good. Who won it? Leicester Juggernauts were here, so pretty much wiped the board. It was Laney, Lance, I think his name is. Who won it from Leicester Juggernauts?
Who are the other big bolt action teams? Are there any other big bolt action teams?
Scotland, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Scotland were in with a real chance of winning.
Did
we? After game two. We were top of the tables of the team after game two.
And some of us let the side down. Which three would that be?
I think Whiffage comes to mind.
Yeah.
Whiffage. Did we come second in the team? We might have come second in the team.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But we were top going into the last game.
Two teams.
Yeah.
England versus.
No, there was a few teams actually. So I don't know. We might have come second. I'll check with Gaz and see if we can claim a second place for Scotland. Oh, we can't have been bad because I came fifth and you came seventh. So we must have been. We can't be far away. We'll claim it as a victory.
There's multi-launchers.
So as you can hear, it's quite good fun. We're, as I said, are now staying in a room above the Boston Battle Bunker. All getting cosy. The heaters are on. The camp beds have been laid out. And we're just chilling out with a few beers. Of course, Harrison isn't drinking at all.
Water.
But we might hear from the Mouth of Madness later on. The new Mouth of Madness, if Brad's listened. We've taken your crown from you. What else happened today that was of interest? Was there any other rules things? I think we covered most of the rules things for today.
Mortars and Recce.
Oh, Recce.
Oh, yes.
Recce.
Yes.
So somebody was playing that you could Recce. Oh, it was indirect HE.
Yeah.
That you can't recce from indirect HE in the first place.
It specifically says every time you fire it, not every time you hit.
Yeah.
No, it's in both the correct. However, every time you fire it, pick the first target unit as normal, then check with other enemy units within 6 inches of the original template.
Of the original template, but you're only
there is a rules query going on about the rocket launchers.
Hypothetical template.
If you were,
so we'll come back to that one later when we've discussed this. This is going to be a long night discussion. But the recce one we were talking about was some guy was
you would measure,
presumably misunderstanding the rules, and he was recceing from HE, which you can't do. And the way he was playing it is once the HE had fired, then he was choosing whether he would recce or not. So I think there's a few ways. Is wrong, but let's go back to the mouth of madness.
He's not so let it go.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's like the green rule. I think they've picked up a different interpretation for
what I would say is if you're firing, say a heavy mortar, if you're firing a heavy mortar, would you put the template down before you fired and say, right, I'm going to hit these four guys or five guys or whatever guys, no, whatever number of guys you're going to fire? Would you say, oh, I'm going to hit all these guys and then roll? Because you don't know you're going to hit them because you haven't rolled yet. You haven't hit yet.
There's no point in putting the template down. Can you check the turn order of four mortars? Can you check the turn order for mortars?
It's going down. This is not going to be let go.
Because that's what it comes down to, the turn order for mortars.
There's no point in putting the template down if you've not hit. You wouldn't put the template down.
You don't put the template down.
Yeah, but who gives a damn if the turn order is
True. You play it by the rules. Rules as written. Rules is written, so while we're busy checking that one out, what else happened? Was there any other turmoil today? Don't think there was. It was a pretty smooth event. Other from the administration point of view, everything went swimmingly. There was maybe one or two little things happened on the floor, but they were dealt with. What else? Boards. What was the train like today?
Train was really, really enjoyable.
A lot of bridges,
a lot of rivers.
There was a lot of rivers. There was quite a number of roads. So when especially when you're playing, last scenario was quarters. Roads can make quite a big difference to the end result if you're playing quarters. So there was a lot of rivers. How did you guys play the rivers? Did you play them impassable?
No, I played them as you could only walk over them.
I played them as rough ground. But the guy I was playing asked me, and I'm thinking, I really want to make these impassable. Because there was one bridge.
He asked me, and I said impassable, and he was like, oh, rough terrain then. I'm like, you what? I was like, all right, fine, whatever then. But
oh, it's such a good job you can't see hand signals on podcasts. So I played them as rough ground, but he did give me the choice. And really, if I was being gamey, I would have said they're impassable because he had a river sort of roughly 1 foot from his board edge, and there was one bridge which would have seriously hampered him. It's one of those things you've got to decide what scenery is going to be. All the tables looked pretty well. I thought they were all. I didn't think there were any tables that were really that open.
No.
But I don't play. You, Andy played on.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, so I think.
Yeah, so it was hills and there was a valley, wasn't there?
And there was
a massive mountain.
Skull, so that was really quite a cool look. It was like a. Wash my mouth out with Carball. It was like a Games Workshop sort of table, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Really, it reminded me of Mines of Moria or. One of those.
It was a totally Indiana Jones style board. Yeah, loved it.
I can see how you could, with the multi launchers, you could read it either way. If that's the case, Highland Cows are the new thing then. If that's the way we're going to work multi launchers.
Well, I've always worked multi launchers that way.
We will.
That's too much. Highland Cows, 37 points.
I've always worked Howling Cow that it's you anything within 6 inches of the unit you're targeting.
To make it worse, if you were in a building and you, with the
six inches of the building, because that's what the guy did. He went from my building and it was 6 inches of the building. It was what the heck?
Could you imagine?
I hate templates.
In case you didn't realise, Harrison hates templates. I think he may have mentioned this before.
If you think of the Battle of Berlin box set, the big German buildings that are having that, they are huge. And if you're thinking 6 inches from every corner of that building, you're going to take up most of the
board. You would always just shoot the building.
You would just shoot the building and get everybody.
So this could be one that's going to Facebook and asking for page references.
Yeah.
This could be another
email to Warlord and asking him to clarify.
Warlord don't clarify anything until next. It'll be next year before we get a FAQ, probably. Although I do know, well, yeah, they bring a FAQ out once a year at the same time of the year, January,
it's
February.
Not even halfway through the year, though. It's only March. Only 3 months in.
I know. So you've got a long time to wait for a FAQ if they run Tuesdays. And I know. For as much of a fact as I can, that there are some more facts to come already.
Yeah. They better get on them easily.
Because I am pretty damn sure that Tiger Fear has a little adjustment coming to it.
Which I'm very disappointed about.
Yay, I'm happy now.
Alessio, if you're listening, Alessio.
I bet you take Panzer IV as well.
I don't think I should confirm or deny that.
He takes a Panzer IV, really. The Marshall League.
Said the man
just subjective opinion there.
Said the man who takes the Tiger with low fuel.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying Tiger fuel. Just saying, mate.
Well, it's a Tiger. I mean, you can't complain about Tiger fuel on a Tiger.
Come on, low fuel. So they asked, so I can just squeeze
it
in
my mouth. I'm giving you a chance. Would you really want a Tiger with low fuel? Would you want that?
No. With the lack of support you would have. If you took it with full fuel.
I'm taking Highland Cows, me. I'm running two platoons and double Highland Cows. So now I'm just multi-launching everything.
That's the new double arty spotter, though.
So Highland Cows could be the new thing, guys.
Another counter to the double artillery spam.
Yeah.
But remember, you heard it here first. So land mattresses. I saw a few land mattresses today, which I've never come across. Which is basically the allied Highland Cow.
Well,
tomorrow at this lovely establishment, I will be picking up some katushas for my Russians.
Katushas?
Yeah.
I'm going to pick up another Highland Cow.
Well, I mean, we've seen the 6 katusha list, and it whiffed a bit.
Well, was he playing it like this, though, like with the templates, or was he playing it the way
I don't know how Paul played. I don't think I ever played. It was Paul Wickens. And I don't think I ever played against Paul with his list. I think he played it maybe for 2 tournaments and decided. Do you remember how Paul was playing?
I should have won the game, but in the end, he just got lucky. No, I should have won.
Highland Cows are, as the name suggests, not Highland Cows, Katushas are, as the name suggests, a bit of a hit or a miss. If they hit, they're going to ruin your day, but most of the time they
miss. I think we're playing Munchers wrong. Like, I'm going to read this like it. I think we are playing it wrong.
Yeah.
I think you do put a template down for every single one within 6.
But saying that, you know, for 37 points, and, you know, you're just...
But then you could do it the other way. The rules are... It could be
really subjective.
Way,
like,
there may be a fact.
Subjective.
There may be a fact on that one. Because I do have facts with me, so...
So this reminds me of the green rule.
I don't, I've left them in the car.
Remember
the fact.
When you were saying that, oh, well, the first casualty is the first person who dies.
Oh, I remember that argument. Yeah, I remember that argument, and to be honest, that was never really an argument apart from that one or two people that played it, and I was like, what?
Yeah,
so, I don't remember if you mean the green.
So if I kill one guy, let me test, like, so it was regular.
But boys have just
created
Iron Man suits and can deflect these bullets away.
So, the multiple launchers referee board is still out at the moment waiting for a final decision, which may never come in actual fact.
Probably not.
Depends who we're playing against.
If I'm playing against Phil, we'll play it as every target within 6, right? We'll play that way, like,
So maybe I have no right to be aggrieved, so we'll come back to that one.
Because on the other hand, that means you're going to hit once in the game and you're only ever going to hit one person once.
No,
statistically.
If you hit the original one first, then you get to do any unit within 6.
Yeah, but there's only really going to be one within 6.
No,
you're not going to hit it, usually.
I played at a couple of weeks ago, and I was playing against a really nice guy with a Belgian list, and he kindly put a unit inside of the building and had 3 other units around it. Hit the building, hit another one of the units around it, and ruined his day. And then he took that vengeance out on the people he played after me.
Poor Jason, what a shame. You were a nasty man that brought out his inner bolt action player.
Yeah. But it spurred him on to greater things.
Mm-hmm. It did. Jason came third, didn't he?
Yeah, right,
he
wrecked me.
Came third. Ooh, this may not be such a happy bunch of Travellers by the end of tomorrow.
Harrison has great stories about how his deal with the Belgians went.
So now Harrison has something. Harrison's decided that it would be an awful good idea to have a Hong Kong Defence Force.
Or crusade against Dice Towers. That's what
we need. Well, we could have the crusade against Dice Towers, but I haven't come across that many Dice Towers. So perhaps we could just talk about the Hong Kong Defence Force for a second.
Hong Kong Defence Force, there's not an official list out. So that means I get my pick of what list I want, really.
So this is like I'm going to have 8 snipers in my army and I'm calling them the Hong Kong Defence Force for historical reasons.
The Hong Kong Defence Force had artillery guns. I don't think it had many vehicles, although it did have like your knockoff and armoured cars. However, not that kind of armoured cars, but I can artillery regular infantry spam, which seems to be winning right now. What do you call it? What was that carpet? Land carpet?
Land mattress.
Land mattress. Say, they're Chinese, of course they got rockets. They invented them, dummy.
Completely historical.
Yeah.
Completely themed. Not cheesy at all, because themeless can't be cheesy, is the current ethos, apparently. Everybody's like, it's not cheesy, it's a themed army.
That's my Japanese are themed. Oh, come on. Well, they're not actually, it's just a list. But I mean, show me a Japanese army that didn't have 8 snipers in it.
So yeah, Hong Kong Defence Force, I could either go down the Gurkha route, reinforce Blitz Platoon,
or... You could definitely go down the Gurkha route. I'm pretty sure there would have been Gurkha stationed in Hong Kong.
Definitely.
I'll need to do the research, but you would think that would be a thing.
I could use them as Japanese and use the defensive bonuses. Because in Hong Kong, they're on the defence.
Hmm.
And I could use I could buy barricades and that.
Yeah, using from the New Guinea book.
Or I could just spam infantry.
I don't know how many people realise that the Japanese, one of the Japanese lists in the New Guinea book, can buy scenery, for want of barricades, and scenery, for want of a better word, if their list is of a certain numerical value, like 1,000 points or 1,250, I can't remember which. I think it's 1,250. So I think you can take up to 200 points of barricades and scenery, and one of the scenery is secret tunnels, which are pretty cool.
I might have a marine section in there, because I saw one full of marines there, so... Yeah, why not?
Marines and Japanese tunnels?
No.
Or Royal Marines.
Hong Kong. In Hong Kong.
The beer is flowing, guys, in case you hadn't noticed. The beer is flowing. What about you guys? Are you sticking with your armies you've got? Or is there any new armies on the...
Africa Corps, I'm waiting for
them. Oh, we're waiting on them coming out. So Africa Corps coming out in summer. There was a box of Africa Corps up for a prize today. Did you not pick that?
The 80 miniatures are smaller than the Warlord ones.
Size isn't everything, eh? As you know.
What's the plan with Hungarians?
I'm going to swap them for a Puma.
So what's your plan with Hungarians?
I haven't thought that far ahead yet. I'm going to see what the options are. But I've got Russians next on the table. From the Berlin box. I've got the Berlin box, big Berlin box.
With the scenery and everything.
Yeah, with all the scenery bits in it.
Man, you should have bought it for me, you Burke.
I got
the big box, and it's really cost effective, that big box. You get a lot of junk in there.
Yeah. There's 4 of those big buildings.
Did you get the wee big box or the big box?
Big box.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So
you've got German army in there as well?
Well, that's how we've got the German army I'm doing in a minute. Huh. But I've also got the Russian studio, so I've bought some extra engineers. You know, what am I going to do with 2 IS-2s?
It's a bit overkill, isn't it?
And 2 King Tigers.
eBay?
eBay, which eBay. Is wonderful for me, yeah.
Where did eBay right now? Where did the winner of Cambridge come in this competition?
James, he had a bit of a kerfuffle in his first game, which he won. Kerfuffle, posh word. And he lost his next two. I don't know if what happened in the first game. He had a bit of a rules query, shall we say, in the first game, and I don't know if that put him off for his second games or not, but he didn't I think if I remember rightly, James, and forgive me if I'm saying this wrong, I'm pretty sure he told me he got hammered in both these last two games.
That's strange. Were the juggernauts at Cambridge? Telford, I think it was, right?
Yeah, but remember you've got, there was 78 at Cambridge, 78 or 76. So the chances of bumping into five guys. I don't know who James played at Cambridge. But when you're playing three games and you've got 70-odd players, there's a fair amount of luck involved as well as skill. But James played that army really well, but today it just didn't work for him, so... But James, it's not the first tournament James won. James won one of the BHGS tournaments last year. Can't remember which one. So we're probably running out on this one. So I am going to say mahalo for tonight. And I will see you on the next podcast, I guess. So take care, folks. And remember to go and check out the Boston Battle Bunker.